The news is like the first draft of history. You don't know the whole truth right away. But because you support WSHU with your donations, we'll be back tomorrow and next week and next month, always to bring you the facts on all the important stories. I'm WSHU senior political reporter, Ebong Udama. We're your source for trusted news. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Brookhaven Town has an extra 3 months to submit plans for cleaning up its landfill. Experts say Connecticut is unlikely to meet its greenhouse gas emissions goals by 2030. Plus, we're taking a deep dive into Governor Hochul's State of the State address from yesterday. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Brookhaven Town has an extra 3 months to submit plans for cleaning up its landfill and the toxic plume of contamination underneath it. WSHU's Desiree Diorio has more.
The DEC granted Brookhaven's request for a three-month extension to submit remediation plans for the landfill and plume. They now have until May 1st. Monique Fitzgerald is with the Brookhaven Landfill Action and Remediation Group. She says she's frustrated by what she calls a delay tactic by the town to avoid the cleanup and disengage the nearby communities.
The plume stretches into North Belport to one of the parks, and it's going down to the creek. These are areas of communal recreation, and the larger community needs to know what's going on.
The town also canceled a state-mandated public forum originally planned for January 15th and hasn't rescheduled it. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
State environmental officials say it's unlikely that Connecticut will reach its goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. The New England News Collaborative's Anya Pinello reports.
First, some good news. Connecticut met its 2020 goal for cutting greenhouse gas emissions. But its goal for 2030, that's going to be a tough one, according to Katie Dykes, commissioner of the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. She says rollbacks on environmentally friendly tax breaks are partly to blame.
All of these federal efforts and more will slow emission reduction progress, putting the health and safety of Connecticut residents at risk.
Data shows that if current policy and emission trends continue, the state is likely to fall short of its 2030 goal by 11%. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Anya Pinello.
The New Haven police chief, who admitted to stealing thousands of dollars, will still get his six-figure retirement pension. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
Former Chief Carl Jacobson allegedly took about $10,000 from a fund for confidential informants. He filed for retirement last week, just before the city opened an investigation. His retirement paperwork shows he'll get more than $10,000 a month, adding up to more than $124,000 a year, according to a records request from Hearst, Connecticut Media. New Haven Mayor Justin Ellicker said Jacobson has betrayed the public trust. Connecticut State Police are now leading the criminal investigation. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul used her State of the State address yesterday to frame her re-election pitch. More on that is coming up.
Hi, I'm Lauren Rico, and I'm inviting you on an adventure to Iceland. This October, we'll experience a place shaped by fire and ice, glaciers, geysers, volcanic valleys, and black sand shores. We'll slow down in the Blue Lagoon, explore Reykjavik, and spend our night searching the sky for the Northern Lights. Join me October 2nd through 8th. Learn more at WSHU.org.
Governor Lamont announced the launch of the Connecticut Content Creator Collaborative. It's an online platform for content creators in the state. It's meant to serve as a hub to connect businesses, organizations, and agencies with Connecticut-based social media influencers. On Long Island, a Revolutionary War-era barn in Huntington will be renovated. The Huntington Historical Society received a $50,000 grant from the Gardiner Foundation to fund the restoration of the Kissam Barn. Ørsted says it will resume construction on its Revolution Wind project in Connecticut as soon as possible. The decision comes after a federal judge allowed work to resume on the offshore wind project. It's the second time that the Trump administration attempted to halt it. It's said to be around 90% complete. Supermarket chain ShopRite is the latest grocery chain to use facial recognition on shoppers. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
ShopRite's parent company, Wakefern, says they have been using facial recognition and other biometric data for several years. The company says the technology allows retailers to identify crimes. According to Hearst Connecticut Media, customers at some of the stores did not know their biometric information was being recorded, although there are signs posted in the stores. Other grocery chains, including Wegmans, have said they are also using facial recognition. State lawmakers are considering introducing legislation to ban the collection of shoppers' biometric data. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
And as we reported yesterday, Governor Kathy Hochul gave her fifth State of the State speech. She highlighted her proposals to lower the cost of living and also promised to defend New Yorkers from overreach by the Trump administration. The New York Public News Network's Samuel King reports the address comes as Hochul is running for re-election.
Two of Governor Hochul's topics during her speech drew sustained standing ovations. One was her plan for child care.
And this plan will ultimately deliver universal child care for every single family in New York, full stop. Full stop. Now the work has already begun.
The other came when she discussed ICE. Her State of the State proposals include legislation allowing New Yorkers to sue in state court if federal officers violate a person's constitutional rights.
Protecting New Yorkers also means this: standing up to ICE agents who abuse their power.
That illustrated a recurring theme during her speech in the Hart Theater at the Egg in Albany, fighting back against powers that be, a tendency she says dates back to the nation's founding 250 years ago.
It's that resilience, that strength, that spirit, that willingness to fight for a better future that was born in secret meetings in the taverns of Albany and New York City, charting a path forward under the weight of an oppressive power. Sound familiar?
The other theme, affordability, as Hochul outlined proposals to reduce utility bills, lower home and auto insurance costs, and create more affordable housing.
Parents, veterans, the disabled, seniors, they all need relief.
Local officials like Mayor Mike Ferguson of Fredonia in Western New York made the trip to Albany for the speech. He welcomed Hochul's proposal to streamline the environmental review process for certain housing projects.
And that's going to save buyers thousands upon thousands of dollars, not to mention the amount of time it's going to cut in the buying process.
The speech comes as Hochul embarks on a re-election campaign, with a Republican challenger, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, on her right, and a challenger within her own party, Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado, running on her left. Former Lieutenant Governor Bob Duffy, who is now the president and CEO of the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce, said Hochul has a balancing act between those who say she is going too far with some proposals like child care and those who say she's retreating on some issues, like the environment.
And so a lot of things people may take issue with, but I think she's on spot on. And here's a difficult thing. She's in an election year. She's trying to be pulled far, far left. The state is not far left. I think the state is mostly moderate.
Meanwhile, Republicans in the legislature, like Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay of Oswego County, said they were largely skeptical of the governor's proposals and the focus on Washington.
It's hard for her probably to admit that Democrats have been one-party rule here in Albany for over a decade. So many of the big problems we have in New York, namely affordability, I think can be laid at the footsteps or the feet of the governor and her Democratic colleagues.
Now the work of turning her proposals into law begins. The governor will unveil her executive budget proposal next week. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
And Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman delivered his own response to the governor's address. The presumptive Republican nominee for governor called Hochul insincere and blamed her for the high cost of living.
Solving their problems, making New Yorkers happy again, making New Yorkers feel like they have a future in this state for their children and their grandchildren, creating opportunity, prosperity. That's the way to make it more affordable. Put more money in people's pockets.
Blakeman says the state under Hochul has wasted billions of dollars on programs that help undocumented people instead of investing in schools and hospitals. You come to WSHU and the After All Things podcast for journalism that's thoughtful and clear, stories that help you make sense of the world around you, and for music that invites you in. Whether you're starting your day or winding it down, that balance matters, and that's what we offer every day. WSHU, news you trust, music you love. On the radio, at WSHU.org, or with the free WSHU app. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'll speak with you tomorrow.